we are confident that he hears us whenever we ask anything that pleases him. And since we know he hears us when we make our requests, we also know that he will give us whatever we ask. Amen? So can we say now that the word of God is his will? Amen? So when my prayer is based on the word of God, am I praying God's will concerning that situation? Amen? These are questions, you know, that we will answer, you know, as we continue. Praise God. Now, also, we know that God says in Isaiah 55, verse 11, that I watch over my words to perform them, that it will not return to me void. It will accomplish the purpose for which I sent it. Amen? And also, in Psalm 138, verse 2, you know, it tells us that God has exalted his word above all his name. He has exalted his word above all his name. Praise God. So, question, who is the word of God? Who is the word of God? I would like us to read, if you have your Bible, let's look at Revelation 19, verse 13. We all know this, you know, answers, but these are just thoughtful questions. Revelation 19, verse 13. He says, he wore a robe dipped in blood, and his title was the Word of God. Amen? His title was the Word of God. Do we agree that this is talking about Jesus Christ? Talking about Jesus Christ? Okay, so when I spend time fellowshipping with the word, I am spending time at the feet of Jesus Christ. Amen? I am spending time at the feet of Jesus Christ. And when I do that, I meditate on the word of God and receive revelation from the Holy Spirit, there's something that word does. Amen? Now, I am spending time at the feet of Jesus Christ. My mind is being renewed to think the way God thinks. Amen? Romans 12, verse 2. Romans 12, verse 2 tells us that, you know, that you don't copy the behaviors of this world. But, okay, here I come and say, don't copy the behaviors and the custom of this world. But let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Amen? Changing the way I think, thinking like Jesus Christ. And God said, this word should not depart from your mouth. Joshua 1:8. Let's look at Joshua 1:8 quickly. Now, Joshua 1:8 tells us that study this book of instruction continually. Meditate on it day and night so you will be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all that you do. Amen? So when I meditate on this word and receive revelation, there's something the word does, which leads us to topic number two. Faith. The first one, we say the word of God. Amen? Now, number two, faith. Please say with me, faith. Now, faith is the hand through which we use to receive from God. Right? The hand through which we use to receive from God. And the Bible tells us that without faith, it is impossible to please God. Hebrews 11:6. Amen? So, question, if It's impossible to please God without faith. Does it mean that without faith, I cannot receive from God? Without faith, I cannot receive from God? Praise God. Somebody say yes. I like that. You know, we will address as we continue. You know, I like that. Without faith, you know, so I cannot please God, you know, without faith. So without faith, I cannot receive from God. Question is, how does faith come? Let's open to Romans 10, 14 to 17. How does faith comes? But how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they have never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? Amen? Please continue. And how would anyone go and tell them without being sent? That is why the scripture says, how beautiful are the feet of the messengers who bring good news. Amen? Indeed, their feet is beautiful. Continue. But not everyone welcomed the good news. For Israel, the prophet said, Isaiah, the prophet said, Lord, who has believed our message? Go ahead. Who has believed our report? So faith comes from hearing, that is, hearing the good news about Jesus Christ. Amen? So now we have seen how faith comes. Amen? And then, but the Bible tells us that we should ask in faith. Let's open to James 1, verse 6 to 7. The Bible encourages us, tells us, instructs us to ask in faith. But when you ask him, be sure that your faith is in God alone. Do not waver, for a person with divided loyalty is as unsettled as a wave of the sea that is blown and tossed by the wind. That our faith must be in God alone. Amen? Remember, you know, we said that it is impossible to please God without faith. Amen? And we have seen how faith comes through the word of God. Praise God. And now the Bible tells us that the just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. If you can put Galatians 3:13. Galatians 3:13. The just shall live by faith. We live by faith. We stand by faith. We see by faith through the word of God. Amen. Say, but Christ has rescued us. Sorry, Galatians 3:11, not 13. Sorry. Galatians 3:11. So it is clear that no one can be made right with God by trying to keep the law. For the scripture says, it is through faith that the righteous person has life. Amen? Wait a minute. Did we say the just, the righteous? If you're righteous, please, can you raise your hand? Who is righteous? You are righteous? Praise God. Okay. Now, the same thing in Romans 1:17. Can you put Romans 1:17 quickly? Romans 1:17. This good news tells us how God makes us right in his sight. This is accomplished from start to finish by faith. As the scripture says, it is through faith that a righteous person has life. Amen? Interesting. So now, we said we are righteous. Now, this leads us to topic number 3. Remember, we said the word, faith. And then now, let's look at righteousness. We are all righteous. Please, put Romans 10:3 for me, please. Romans 3:10, rather, sorry. Romans 3:10. And the scripture says, no one is righteous, not even one. Amen? But we just say we are righteous.
It is scriptures lying. It's not. Praise God. Okay, let's proceed to Romans 3 from 20 to 22. Romans 3, 20. You know, now, for no one can ever be made right with God by doing what the law commands. The law simply shows us how sinful we are. Please proceed. But now, God has shown us a way to be made right with him without keeping the requirement of the law, as was promised in the writing of Moses and the prophet long ago. Continue. We are made right with God by placing our faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. And this is true for everyone who believes, no matter who we are. Amen. You know, I was, Pastor Mara was sharing with me, you know, earlier in his office. It's like he went and read, you know, and was pouring it out on me. I just stood there, I opened my mouth, I told him that I'm going to come again, again, and again. Praise God. So we have seen that none is righteous. The righteousness we have does not belong to us. It comes from God through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen? No, now that we are righteous, since, you know, we are righteous, how does the righteousness of Christ, you know, affect my approach towards God in prayer? Amen? How does the righteousness of Christ affect my approach towards God in prayer? Ephesians 3, verse 12. Quickly. Ephesians 3, verse 12. Because of Christ and our faith in him, we can now come boldly, confidently into God's presence. Amen? Hebrews 10, 19 to 20. He said we can come, how? Boldly and confidently into God's presence because of our faith in Christ Jesus. Hebrews, I say, and so, dear brothers and sisters, we can boldly enter heaven's most holy place because of the blood of Jesus. So his blood paid it all. Amen? His blood paid it all. So I can now come boldly. I can approach God boldly. Amen? But why is it that, you know, when I go to pray, sometimes I come to God with my resume? Amen? For instance, the two people that went to pray, the Pharisee and the tax collector. Amen? The Pharisee, you know, looked at the tax collector and was telling God, Lord, you know, I pay my tithe. I'm not like this Pharisee. I fast. How many times a day? And the tax collector will not even look up and bow down and say to God, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. Praise God. And the Bible says this man went home justified than the Pharisee. Amen? Pharisee, because he didn't have Jesus Christ, so he couldn't see very clearly. Pharisee. Amen? Pharisee, yes. You couldn't see. He didn't have Jesus Christ, so you couldn't see clearly. Amen? Sadducees, they are sad because they don't have Jesus. Amen? Amen? Praise God. So, what was the first thing we mentioned? The word of God. That brings faith. And faith in who? Faith in Christ Jesus, that reveals the righteousness of God to us. Amen? And then, now we can come boldly, amen, into the presence of God. But this last guy is somebody we cannot ignore. Praise God. The Holy Spirit. Number four, the Holy Spirit. Please, if you can put John 16, 13 for us, AMPC, John 16, 13. I love this guy so much. The Holy Spirit. Amen. He said, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own, but will tell you what he has heard. He will tell you about the future. Praise God. Thank God. So we don't need a prophet to tell us about the future. Amen. Now, the question is, if the Holy Spirit is our helper and he will tell us things to come in the future, what role does the Holy Spirit play in our prayer life? Romans 8, 26 to 37. And this is where we'll open it up. Romans 8, 26 to 27. So too, the Holy Spirit comes to our aid and bears up in our weakness. For we do not know what prayer to offer, nor how to offer it worthily as we ought to. But the Spirit helps, goes to meet our supplication and plead in our behalf with unspeakable yearning and groaning too deep for utterance. Amen. Continue. And he who searches the heart of men knows what is in the mind of the Holy Spirit, what his intent is, because the Spirit intercede and plead before God in our behalf, and the saint according to and in harmony with God's will. Amen. Remember, we said the word of God is the same thing as his will. Amen. Just like you, I am here to learn tonight. We are all here to learn tonight. So please, feel free to ask any question. Feel free. This is just to set us up for discussion. Amen? Feel free to ask any question. You have contribution you want to share as pertaining to prayer, please. It is open. We have mics going around. Brother Chris Onyechi wants to ask a question.
Praise the Lord. When do we stop asking God for something? I want to refer this to Luke chapter 18. It says, and he spake a parable unto them to this, that men ought always to pray and not to faint, saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city which came unto him, saying, avenge me of my adversaries. And he would not for a while. But afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God nor regard man, yet because this widow trouble me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. So if I have a need, and when do I really stop praying for that need? Is that when I have the peace, or do I continually pray for that issue? Because from what Jesus was telling us here, he said we ought not to faint.
Oh, okay.
That scripture you read is not referring to God. Because that man you read is a wicked man. He doesn't has no respect for anybody. Read it again. Read that scripture again. Give him microphone, please. Give him microphone. Read that scripture.
And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint, saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded men.
That's not the character of God.
Yes.
Is God like that?
No.
I'm asking you, people.
No.
Continue.
And there was a widow in that city which came unto him, saying, avenge me of my adversary. And he will not for a while, but afterward said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard
man. The man fears not God, doesn't care. That's
yet,
not the character of God.
Mm-hmm. Because this widow troubled me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said. Shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them?
He what?
He bear long with them.
Though he what?
He bear long
okay.
with
so
him.
That character, that continue that.
I say, I tell you that he will avenge them speedily.
How will God avenge them?
Speedily.
God, Jesus is saying, even wicked people, even heartless people, if you harass them, they will listen to you. Say, but God will avenge his people how? Speedily. He's teaching that prayer is important. That you can't give up on prayer. Prayer should be your lifestyle. But he was illustrating that even heartless human beings, they need harassing. But God will answer you how? Speedily. Because the king he was referring to does not care about people, but God cares about people. For God so loved the world. So God loves people. So that king is not God. All that Jesus is drawing comparison, that, and all of you know, that if you harass a wicked person at a point, because of the harassment, but God will answer you not because of the harassment, but because of his love. And because of his promise, God does not need harassing to do anything. Is that correct? Church, I'm asking you. It doesn't need harassing. God doesn't respond by harassing. He doesn't respond. Doesn't need to harass him. Because he already told us what to. If I was the one that said we should come and ask, and we should receive. Now, about when to stop praying. It all depends upon your growth in faith and understanding. Where you are with God. There are things that God has promised us in Scripture. Somebody asked a question about if God has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness, what things do you pray about? Yes, those things God gave you are potential gifts. You can pray and get, you can also lay claim on them. It all depends on how you have grown in your relationship with God and understanding. So there are things that God gave us, and Jesus said, if you ask anything, then what? Believe, and when did he say you should believe? When you pray. Not later. When, that's Mark, can we read it, please? So don't use that scripture he read to teach anybody about God. That is not, that man, that king doesn't care about men, but God cares about people. Mark.
Therefore, I say unto you,
mm-hmm.
what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them.
So when do you believe?
When you pray.
Who said that? Who said that? Is he teaching us how to receive? Absolutely. When you pray, believe. When you pray. When you pray, believe that you have received. Then, but if you don't believe, when you pray, praise the Lord. So if I pray, and it's the will of God, and God says, if you ask me anything according to my will, I hear you. So why shouldn't I trust God and pray and go away and say, God has heard me? The problem is we are at different levels of developing our faith. Sometimes all this repetitive prayer is lack of faith. We're just trying to find a place to latch on, to be able to believe that God has done it. And so we watch with our eyes, you know, checking. That's totally doubt. Most long prayer is celebration of fear, doubt, inability to trust God, inability to believe the word of God. That's what a lot of long prayers is, until you come to a point where you finally must believe, because believing is receiving. You have to extend that hand of faith and receive it. And sometimes God is helping you, talking to you, until you're like Abraham. Remember that Abraham didn't believe God the first time. He didn't. Did he? He didn't. Even the wife was laughing. But there came a point where they said no. This is it. So all that process of repeating prayer is you are struggling with yourself. It's not bad. You shouldn't stop. Until one day you come to terms with God has done this thing. You would have done the same thing the first day. First day. Because God said, if you ask me anything according to my will, what did he say? I didn't hear you. I'll give it to you. Now, there are things you repeat in prayer is when you pray for people, because their faith is involved. But things that concerns you personally, you can control your faith. But things that, like if I'm praying for my brothers in Dokwere, I'll keep praying for him. Until I hear from God, I'll keep praying for him. If I'm praying for this country, it's a continuous prayer. There are things you need to continue to ask for God, because there are daily resources that you need, like wisdom, like boldness, like strength. You know? So there are things that you keep asking because you need them continuously. You never have enough of them. That God will open your eyes of understanding. The basic things that you just have to ask all the time. But there are things that you can believe God, because God said, I've given it to you. If you pray for healing, you should be able to believe it, and it works. But you can continue to pray. You can continue to pray. Why? Because you are struggling with what you are seeing. You can take your eyes off what you are seeing and trust God with it and see the result. You can continue if you want to. But let me teach you something. See all this continuing prayer. If you have serious situation, don't get a lot of people praying, no? Because somebody is going to cancel your prayer. Because not all men have faith. Prayer is not answered by number. It's not answered because you have 200 people praying for you. It's not a noise stuff. It's answered because you believe. God answers because he makes a promise he will give to you. But you need the arm of faith to receive it. If I really have something serious, I don't share with people. I hardly tell anybody anything. Because the people you are telling won't even have as much interest in it as you do, even though they will tell you we'll be praying. Number two is that sometimes they bring unbelief there. If they come to you, they'll be looking, walking by sight. And what God has done, they start annulling everything with their prayer. You can disannul your prayer. Because the book of James said, if you waver, you receive nothing. So some people are gifted fire extinguishers. They have a call. Their call in life is to knock out your faith. They come with religion, come with all manner of stuff. And you don't know that you're just destroying your prayer. Because you can't waver. You just cannot what? Waver. You just refuse to waver. And how will you not waver if you allow a lot of people? If I have an issue, I don't even want people to know. I don't even want them to visit me. I don't need your sympathy. Honestly speaking, keep your sympathy somewhere. I don't need it. Bring me some words of faith. That's what I want. But if you can't bring me words of faith, why is your visit useful? How useful is your visit to me? You come and cry with me. And come and beg God again. I don't want to see you. Because my victory is my faith. Nobody's stealing it from me. Praise the Lord. I'm telling you the truth. Sometimes when you have something, people are trooping into your house. Out of 10 people, 20 that come, somebody is coming to some belief there. You might as well make sure that you limit people to your issues for God's sake. So that you have people, you can have unity of faith. Two cannot work together. Save that.
I'm telling you the truth. I'm begging you. All that glitters is not, everybody that comes to pray for you is not praying faith. And once they introduce doubt, everything goes out. Immediately goes out. So that scripture you used is not talking about God. It's talking about the wicked king who does not care for men. But God loves the world. God cares for you. He says, the Bible says, cast your burdens upon him, for he careth what? For you. So that scripture is not talking about God. Jesus is simply saying, even wicked people, but your God will answer you speedily. It's not like them. It's not like them. Is that clear?
Thank you very much, Pastor. Somebody said, okay, let me stay here so I'll be seeing those who raised their hand first. Please give her the mic.
Praise God. I wanted to ask, when should we thank God for the things that we already have? For example, it says we have everything we need for life and godliness in us, right? Through the knowledge of Christ, right? So when should we just give God thanks for what he has already given us versus asking God, you know, like, should we just go and say, like, God, I need healing. Can you give me healing? Versus, God, I thank you for healing. Can we differentiate, like, when we should be doing any of those?
Okay. Praise God. Now, Matthew 7:7, God says, ask, and it will be given to you. Amen? Ask, and it will be given to you. Yes, God has given us all that pertain to life and godliness. Amen? Jesus said, I come that we may have life and have life abundantly. But there's somebody who is roaming about looking from who to devour. Amen? And he will attempt. And the Bible says, grace and peace be multiplied to you through the knowledge of Christ. Amen? So that's why it's important, you know, for me to build myself up in the Word of God so that when I know that whatever is coming my way is contrary to what God is saying, I can disallow it. Amen?
Amen. Praise the Lord. I think she's asking when to start thanking God after you have made your request to God. Is that your question?
Just saying that, you know, for example, we have healing in our body, right? So if you are sick, do you say, God, I need healing. Can you give me healing? Versus saying, God, I thank you because you already given me this healing. Like, there are scriptures that say, ask and you shall receive, right? So when do we ask versus when do we just thank God because we already have it in us, right?
Amen. Oh. Go ahead if you have an answer. You said about healing because he said he already, that's, you know, part of what he was teaching us, that you have to pick up a scripture that is relevant to what you're asking. So if, for instance, it's about healing and you know already that you were healed, past tense, so it's something that is already in you, health. So you're asking from a point of victory. So because you know you were already healed, whatever is the name of that thing that the symptom that the enemy is, you know, raising its symptom in your body, you call that thing by name. You can start by thanking God from what you already know. Father, I thank you because by the stripes of Jesus, I was healed. Jesus healed me 2,000 years ago. And because I was healed, I am healed. And so I give you praise for that. Now, this is a lying symptom. So there's no room for this in my body. So you headache or whatever it is, you don't have any room in my body. So I curse you to your root. I command you, take your hands off my wherever it is. And then you speak healing. Say the healing of, no, the healing is already in you. Remember the Bible said that the power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead is at work in you. It's working 24/7. And that power is quickening your mortal bodies, your mortal bodies. And it's supplying life to every dead area. So it's like boom, 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 boom. It's working 24/7. So you know that you were already healed. So you started by thanking God. And then you now deal with the situation. And then the Bible said, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. You call that portion of your body to order. And you command it to line up with the hell that is already in you. Because you know what the Bible said, even though you might still feel that pain, you are not looking at the pain. Because you've already dealt with it. You already know you were healed. So you have to thank God. That's where, you know, that's, you know, the faith thing. You must have, because faith, the basis of faith is the word of God. You already know what the word said about your health. So you're not going to be looking at that. And the important thing is that you have dealt with it. Even if it lingers on for 5 days, you don't care because you already know it's a done deal. So you just keep on thanking God.
Let me help you out there. Listen to me, everybody. You see, God knows that we'll be at different levels. He knows we're growing, so he gives us help. You see, when God told Moses, he said, Moses, go speak to Pharaoh. He said, I'll be with you. I'll put my mouth, I'm going to speak through you. Moses said, I stammer. He said, I can't speak well. But you know why Moses was saying that? He was afraid because he killed somebody in Egypt. So, but God says, okay, let me give you error. So why did God allow that? Why didn't God say, since I've told you to go, you must go? Even though God told him, you must go. Go, I'll be with you. Come on, go. I'll speak through you. But the man said, no, I need help. And God said, okay, I will give you Aaron to go with you so that he will be your map. And even before then, God said to Moses, he said, who made the mouth? He said, is it not I that made the mouth? So if I send you to go, you should go. But the man said, I need help. And God said, all right, no problem. God accommodated his help, knowing that he was dealing with something fearful. And even before Moses went back, the Lord went to them and said, Moses, the people you are afraid have all died, though. All of them have now died. He said, all those people that you are afraid that they'll kill you, they have now died. So you can now go. See, God knows, he knows our frame. He helps us. He brings it down to any level. Now, what my wife was saying is one level. But God says, is any man sick among you? Let him call what? Elders, let them continue with oil. God will heal you there. If you need Aaron, he will give you Aaron. If you need Aaron, he will bring Aaron. Because he knows you are. And again, sometimes some sicknesses can frighten you. They can really frighten you. They can really, really what? Frighten you. Because it's like death sentence. So God understands that. He will give you an Aaron if you need one. He to help you. So he says, okay, look, by the stripes of Jesus, you have been healed. But he said, but if any man is sick among you, though, let him call for the elders, they will pray over him. And he says, you can lay hands on the sick, can anoint them with oil. Why is God doing this? He's giving us help at our level so that the important thing is everybody gets healed. Just get what? Healed. So if God is waiting until everybody understands the word to live purely by the word, many people will die. And so he uses even doctors to help us. The important thing is get well and get healed and come back here and start doing Sunday school. So he uses, he'll send you an errand if you need one, just to help you to get to accomplish what he has willed for your life. So this thing is as every man according to the level of years that he has. And then the Spirit of God also comes to help us. There are certain things about life and prayer that only God can guide you through it. Because we don't understand all the mysteries and depth of life. So the Spirit of God will be able to help you and talk to you and say, look, I've done this thing. Because like God was helping Moses, don't you think God is our helper still? I'm asking. Yeah, so you don't have to feel that you must do it the way he did it. The Spirit of God will help you at your level and bring you the same healing, the same result. But it's all, if you go to hospital, for instance, the doctors are not your healer. You still know that God is what? A healer. And then your prayer will be, Lord, use these people. I'm not trusting them. I'm trusting you. I'm trusting you. And then the medicine I take, I pray over it, Lord, touch it. Let it be from your hand so that it will heal me. People have received healing that way. God has intervened for them that way. So sometimes, honestly, if you need an errand, God will what? Give you one to get you through your time of difficulty and challenges. So don't be pressed by pressure thinking, oh, I don't have faith this way. No, you have. You have. And healing assuredly is your own. Did you get what I'm saying? Yeah, so thanking God, I can thank God. I can feel the sin. I said, God has healed me. Go my way. Somebody will say, no, I need to pray about this thing. Because God said, yeah, ask, you receive now. He will start praying, and the Spirit of God will help him. And another person will say, Pastor, I need you to pray for me. But God will use all of it. And somebody says, I need to go to emergency. Please take them to emergency immediately. God will still do the same thing there. Amen? Did you get what I'm saying? We're not fanatics here. We follow the Bible. And God will come to your level. And God will. Do you know, without doctors, do you know how many people would have died? Millions of people would have passed away without doctors. And even then, these people who are not Christian, God still loves them. So let them be well to be able to receive the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, they can't die. They have to wait, too. They must wait. They're not going anywhere until they get saved. So if you want to go to hospital, please go. Feel comfortable. You can go there and be thanking God. Lord, thank you. I'm so grateful that I even have a hospital to go to. Yeah, take your thanks there. Take your worship there. Take your songs there. Call Dora. She will come and see you. She's been wonderful. God will bless you, Dora. Awesome. All our people that go there, they take stories about her hospitality and help to them, encouragement to them. That's a ministry too. So you can go there with thanksgiving. You can go there with rejoicing, knowing that all is well. You know? So this praise can always give God praise at all times for anything. I don't know if you answered that question. Did he answer it? Huh? Huh? Did he answer it?
Yes. Thank you, sir. We have somebody. Okay. After her, then mommy. Okay.
Praise God. So I have a question. I've been thinking about it ever since the preaching started. So I guess my question is, the Bible says pray without season. But I remember I used to ask somebody I know very well. She would pray all day, every day, and she somehow believed that, you know, if she spent 3 or 4 hours praying, God answered her prayers. But if it was like 15, 10 minutes, it was nothing. So when I asked, why do you pray all the time, asking for the same thing every day for the same amount of hours? Aren't you like, do you believe or do you not have faith that God is going to answer? And she said, the Bible says pray without ceasing. So I guess my question is, what is the interpretation of that, you know, passage, pray without ceasing? And then also, I've asked somebody else, actually during a Bible study when I was in college, a young girl said, my father taught me that once I ask God for something one time, I should not bother asking again as long as I have faith and he will do it. And I find it interesting because when I ask God for something, I don't actually, ever since I heard what that girl said, I've been practicing it. I would ask and I won't ask every day the same amount of time and I will have so much faith and God will answer my prayers. So again, I want to know, what does pray without ceasing really mean? Like, what is it really interpreting?
You know, you just confirmed what Jesus said. What is survived is that when you pray, believe that you have received it, then, and you've been practicing it, and it's working for you. Am I right? It's working for you. It works for me. It works for me. Once I ask something, if it comes to my mind, I just give thanks. I don't care what I'm saying. I just give thanks. And I make effort to forget that thing. I count it down. Forget, my mind must go off it. No matter what the devil, I will not look at it. I will take my mind off it. I don't even know when those things work. But I just see them work. So since it works for you, Jesus is right. Am I right? Yeah, amazing. Well, pray without ceasing. You know, prayer is not a religious thing. It's we that made it religious. Prayer is simple conversation. It's conversing with God. So what the Spirit of God is saying is, you have to be communing with your Father about everything. That's what we are teaching, to have fellowship with the Holy Spirit. You don't have to make it officious. You talk to God as you're driving. You could hear some news. You say, Lord, I don't understand. What do you think about this? What's really your will about this? What's going on here? He will talk to you. Is that not prayer? I'm asking. Prayer now. You go to your office, things are happening. You can say to the Lord, I don't understand what they're doing here. What is going on? How do you want me to respond to this? This is prayer. What he's saying is always commune with God so God can guide you. So God can help you. So you don't have to keep prayer until a particular time. It's good to have those particular times because it helps you to pray. But that won't build your intimacy with God. No husband and wife will develop intimacy by having particular times. You don't talk to her, she doesn't talk to you until a particular hour. And they say, this is the time we talk. My husband, listen and talk. And they say, we're talking for only 30 minutes. What kind of relationship would that be? But husband and wife that develop intimacy know that talking is important. It's a chemistry. You come in, you chat, you laugh, you crack jokes, you know, conversation flows, and say, oh, yeah, there's something I really wanted to tell you. Come to the building, want to talk about it. You know, it flows that way. The intimacy grows deeper. You call during work. I know Pastor Zanya calls the wife 5 times a day. They use FaceTime. They use email. They use text, because the wife was in my office and she didn't know which one was ringing. That's why I found out. He said, my husband is coming first time. I said, he said, he calls me first time. I said, is this what you people do when you go to work? That's why I want to expose both of them. That's what they do. So, you know, that kind of thing is good. And if you see them, they are very intimate. They are really very intimate. There's no doubt about it. So intimacy develops by conversation. So what God is saying is, I love you so much. Talk to me. Share your burdens with me. Share your life with me. I want to be involved. Don't keep me out of your life because I'm your God. I'm your Father, and I'm there with you. So pray without ceasing is talk to God, share with God. Look, I ask God about anything. I don't know about you, but I do. I do. If I ever come to your house, before I enter your house, I'm going to talk to God, though. I'm going to say, Lord, you know this place we are going. I don't know what to say. So you got to tell me what to say. You got to tell me how to handle this thing. And sometimes I ask him, I said, Lord, why is this thing still like this? And he will tell me. I ask him all manner of questions. Everything. Everything I mean, while we're in service here, you people are singing. I'm telling you what I do. I'm right there. I'm listening. Until we say grace, I'm listening to him. And all of a sudden, you see me come up here. I'm listening to him. I'm listening because I know he's in charge of this service. I'm listening continuously. Sometimes you see me, I'm listening. And it's the same way you and I should live our lives. Our life is not supposed to be lived only in church. Our communion with God should be 24/7. Prayer is daddy and father, daddy and daughter talking. There's no, we made a religion. Once you make a religion, it becomes stressful. Oh my God, you say, I want to pray for 1 hour. Then you pray, look at your watch, it's 5 minutes. That is waste. Can I help you? Stop that junk. Please stop. You are in the flesh, and it will profit you what? Stop. God doesn't even enjoy it. Prayer is celebration of relationship. Lord, I'm really so tired. I wanted to talk to you, but I'm so tired. I'm going to bed. You say, okay, go to bed. When you wake up, we'll talk about it. Very simple thing. One time I was reading, time choked me. So I said, I must study my Bible. I said, Lord, I've not prayed though. I'm going to study my Bible. And I started to study under this battle. Let me pray first. And he said, why are you doing this? He said, what are you doing? I said, I've not prayed. He said, you study the Bible, I'll talk to you. We'll have conversation. He said, what's prayer? I said, it's conversation. He said, you study your Bible. We'll have conversation. It's prayer. Talking together. So I enjoy fellowship. I love you. Stop all the religious things. If you are choked by time, I know it now. You open your Bible, let's talk. You say, well, when you read Bible, what is happening? You say, you are talking to me. He said, is it not prayer? I will not conversing. You can ask me questions and we'll go on. Do you get what I'm saying? Eh? This is why people have no intimacy with God. Because they make religion, Christianity religion. When Christianity is about relationship based on love. Based on love. Nobody wants to hear you more than the person that loves you. One sure sign of love, if you love somebody, you want to hear them talk. Am I telling a lie? And if they start talking, you want the conversation to, if they want to stop, you find a way to, because you want to hear them. But if you don't love somebody, if they say anything, you are doing something. Can you listen to me? I'm listening to you now. Am I telling lies here? So if God loves you, don't you know he wants to hear you? And then we think because you have to be a special, there's no special way to talk to God. Once you can talk, you can talk. God doesn't need all this, thou know it, and thou know it, and thou know it. Forget about it. He's your father. Praise the Lord. I said praise the Lord. Come on, I said praise the Lord. And sometimes I say to the Lord, I said, this thing that's happening, Lord, you know I don't like this show. He said, I know you don't like it. You're not hiding from me. I know, even if you don't tell me, I know you don't like it. I said, Lord, I don't like it the way this thing is going. So what am I supposed to do? Where did I miss this thing? He would tell me. One time I was going to see somebody that was very sick. I mean, it was terrible. Very, very terrible. So I thought this person was going to pass away. And God began to give me a song. Aka bakaya, aka chineke nemema. I said, Lord, you're singing this. When this person is almost passing, say, it won't pass away. Go there and tell this person, you're not passing away. Say, the hand of the Lord is keeping you. That's prayer now. Right? Come on, church. Am I right? If you do this, you will not be confused again. You will not be confused again. I'm going to my office. So all this asking and looking at me will stop.
Pastor. Please, don't go to your office yet.
Okay.
Hello.
And somebody was raising hand there.
Yes.
Mama. That said, Uche Nwobi's mom. Mama Nala Anabiko. Mommy, welcome. Oh. Mommy, welcome. Oh. What do we say to mommy? Welcome, mama. No.
Thank you.
No, Imela. email Norma. Aonyoka. Nde foge ka. Mama no. Norma no. It's a rikuoku. Ngwakuwe o. Swan come na dege maso.
Really. Actually, I made you about this fasting. Okay. A lot. This period of
use the mic, please, so we can.
40 days of fasting. I still get confused about it. I have a pastor who insists that we must fast. And really, if he's taking this type of Bible study like this, or 6 p.m. Prayers after by the time we are fasting, all this period, these 4 weeks, he said, if you don't need to come if you are not fasting. You have to blend with the congregation. And you have to fast to be able to come into the prayers to conform with the congregation. So tell me more about this fasting.
Okay, so the pastor
said. There are two questions I want to. Let me finish this one. The second one again is about witches must die. Every day, cause witches, they must die. Open your mouth and say, witches must die. As it's in the Bible, it says, do not allow witches to live. So please tell me about these two items. I get a bit confused with them.
Praise the
Lord.
Because
I close my mouth and say, I don't, he said, you must open your mouth and say, witches must die. So please tell me more about them. Thank you, Pastor.
Isn't it wonderful? Mama is here. It is a wonderful question. First of all, fasting. Mama, we read Ephesians 3 verse 12. Ephesians 3, 12. And we read Hebrews 10, 19. Ephesians 3, 12. Is it 3, 12? Yeah, I think so. Ephesians 3, 12. Put it up there. Ephesians 3, 12. It says, in whom we have what? What else do we have? With what? Through what? Faith in him. So the thing that brings you in the presence of God is faith in Christ. It says, in Christ we have boldness and we have what again? Access with what? Confidence through faith in him. Not fasting. Faith in him. And then Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19. Hebrews chapter 10. And there's a scripture that said, neither if we eat or do not eat, that I don't know how to get that scripture. I said, no, let's read. Mama, Hebrews 10, 19. Okay, yeah, this is 19. Therefore, brethren, having what? To enter where? Holiest by what? Not fasting. Because the way to God is by faith in Christ. Nobody coming to the Father except by Jesus. And the thing that opened the door is the blood of Jesus that washes our sins away. Without the shedding of the blood, there is no remission of sin. And if our sin is not remitted, we can't go before God. And nothing will take away our sin. Fasting can take it away. And we sing it. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. So you see why Ephesians said we have boldness and confidence by faith in Christ. Then Hebrew explained it, that we have this boldness to enter the holiest only by the blood of Jesus Christ. Without that blood, we can't go. And that's what God was demonstrating through Pharaoh. God did all the miracles in Egypt, and the people of Israel could not be delivered. God was showing us that nothing will deliver a man except blood. And once the blood was applied, they were set free. No amount of miracle, no amount, nothing, will make you acceptable to God. Except the blood of Jesus Christ. That is what makes us clean. And that's what purifies us. And it is through this blood we come before God. Not by works of righteousness. Nobody delivers himself. Nobody makes himself acceptable to God. It's only God that makes us acceptable through the blood of Jesus. So fasting is not required. And number two is, fasting does not change God. Because God is unchangeable. So how long will I fast to change God? And God says, who gives me counsel? So nobody gives me counsel. He said, I do what I want. So if I'm fasting, am I fasting to make God change or what? It doesn't change God. And it doesn't change his word. Fasting really is for me, not for God. So that it will help me, because if you are fasting, you won't talk too much. It's not for God. I can't enter God's presence because of fasting. It's only because of the blood. But if I fast, it helps me to put my flesh under control. That's all. And people, as they grow in their relationship with God, can take care of their flesh without fasting. Because Paul said, I put my flesh under control. They can control their flesh without fasting. But fasting weakens your body. So if you are somebody who loves gossiping, at least that time you won't gossip a lot. And number three is that fasting is like, you know, when we do sports now, we don't eat too much to go and run. Because if you eat too much and run, you will lose. So fasting keeps you light because you want to do some prayer or something. It's just for you, not for God. It's not for God at all. So, and then the scripture says there, now that if we eat or we don't eat, 1 Corinthians 8:8, put it up. You say food does not commend us to God. It doesn't draw us close to God. 1 Corinthians 8:8. But food does not. Can you put a New Living Translation? It is true that we can't win God's approval by what we eat. We don't lose anything if we don't eat it. And we don't get anything if we do. So you say, if you eat, don't eat. It doesn't make you accepted by God. Food doesn't make you accepted by God. That's what it says. Can you put a New King James Version? But food does not commend us to God. For neither if we eat are we better, nor if we do not eat are we the worse. So if you eat, don't eat, God still loves you. The covenant is still there. The blood is working for you. It can't take away anything from you before God, because the gifts and callings of God are without what? Repentance. There's no refund from God. God gives you, he gives you. God is not IRS that will give you and write you tomorrow to refund. No. So whether you eat, mama, or you don't eat, food, if I eat, it doesn't make me acceptable to God. If I don't eat, it doesn't make me acceptable to God. The only thing that makes me acceptable to God is faith in Christ Jesus. That's how righteousness comes. That's how righteousness comes. Then the other one about witches, killing them. There's no scripture that says we should kill. I don't hear. What?
They suffer not the witch to live.
Yeah, Mama, we are not living in the Old Testament. Mama, if we start killing the witches, why are we preaching the gospel now? What we were sent to do is to preach the gospel to them. So there are people today who were witches before who have become Christians. So Jesus died for everybody. So all that time they were saying all that, there hasn't been the blood of Jesus shed for the sins of the whole world. But the blood has been shed, and the Christian was sent to preach the good news. So if you see a witch, you tell him Jesus died for you, so you don't die again. You don't have to go to hell with this thing. You can believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you'll be free. And you'll be translated from this kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of Mama, if we start killing all the people that are witches, how many will come to church again? So we don't have to kill them because God loves them. The only thing God said we should tell them is the good news, and we should love them. The Bible says, love your enemies and do good to those that what? Hate you. And those that despisefully use you, you should pray for them. In the kingdom of God, there's no room for hatred. For God is love. And love forgives. Jesus said, forgive them for they know not what. They don't know what they are doing. They think that thing is powerful, it's helping them. It's ignorant. But there are a lot of people, honestly, who were witches. Today they are preaching the gospel, they believe in Jesus. Now they are living very neat lives, wonderful family. Supposing we kill them before now, what will God say? Did God send us to kill them? Huh? No, Jesus said, I've come that you have life, not to kill them. Not to kill them. You know, witches commit their own sin. They are also prostitutes. There are all manner of things people are doing. If it's killing people, then we, including me, would have all been dead longest time. But to God be the glory that the grace of God is available and salvation is available. You know what Jesus told his disciples when they came back and said to him, he said that the devils were subject what? Unto us in your, and then Jesus told him, said, don't rejoice about miracles. They rejoice that your names are written in the book of life. He said, that is more important than the miracles. So God has opened the door for everybody to come. Whoever believes in the Lord Jesus Christ is saved. We are saved from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of... And Mama, let me tell you something again. Remember that everybody who is not in Christ is under the kingdom of darkness, which are not. Am I right? So are we going to kill everybody now? No. Everybody who is not under, who is not in the kingdom of God is in the kingdom of darkness. But it is through Christ that they come from kingdom of darkness into, and then that's why Jesus died for everybody. 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 Does it answer your question, Mama? Yeah, you're welcome. Mama, don't say that with them again. And don't do all those 40 days fast. Please, eat your food. Holy swear. I think I'll go to my office. Okay, I think it's 9. We're done.
Yep.
We're done, right?
Yes.
Okay, yeah. Wow. Let's rise up.
Thank you.
Come and close us. We're done. My wife will have to give me a bath this night.